Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
As we move into the 5 o'clock hour, WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here this evening. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Yankee Elimination Day. That was Tommy Curran with us earlier today, talking about the trade deadline. It's going to be an interesting trade deadline here, I think, now that this whole other element of buying has been introduced to the discussion. And I think for good cause. I think this is a good way to go about building a roster. And we talked about this yesterday. I sort of agree with what Tommy said at the end there, and really the whole bulk of it. But at the end, he goes, you know, you don't just want to make trades just to make them. You do if you're trying to change the culture. You do if you're trying to do addition by subtraction. I do think there's an argument to be made for that, especially in the wide receiver room on this team. But not really too many other places. I think there's other places where you have veteran guy, like in the secondary, Jonathan Jones. Trading him just to trade him doesn't make a lot of sense. If the best you're going to get back is a sixth-round pick, then I'd just assume keep him here and then let him walk in free agency. I'm fine with that. But we'll see. We'll see what kind of offers are made and that sort of thing. Kendrick Bourne's another one, a guy who, in a wide receiver room full of pretty immature young players, has not performed well by any means. He dropped every ball he saw last week against the Jets, but he has been sort of a calming influence and the adult in the room, if you want to go there. Same for some other players that Andrew Callahan wrote about as potentially getting traded. KJ Osborne, another one, who probably not going to net you all that much, but is someone that wants out and has a little bit of cachet. He's had some success in other places, not here to be sure, but may get you something. But really what it's going to come down to is you don't have a lot of top-tier talent. You're not the type of team that's going to be selling off Christian McCaffrey to the Niners for a big haul of draft picks. You're maybe getting a sixth-round pick, a seventh here, a pick swap late in the fifth, or you know a sixth that could become a fifth, like stuff like that. That's mostly what you're talking about. So in that sense, I kind of agree. Selling at the deadline's not really going to get you much. It's not really going to get you anything.
Especially selling Jonathan Jones, culture guy.
Right.
Even Kendrick Bourne is the best of the culture you have at the wide receiver position, I would say, right? Like, that's a culture guy. I don't know if Devon Godshaw, his name has been bandied about. I think Mark Daniels reached out to his agent and said, we've heard nothing of any potential trades. Even he is a vocal leader of the defensive front. Whether you think he's a good leader or a bad leader, we can leave that up to debate or whatever. Maybe he talks too much. But I also don't think you're going to bring anybody in that's a culture guy. Right? Like the type of players we're talking about for the most part. I have dreams of Cooper Kupp or I have dreams of T. Higgins. Right. That could change a culture. But I don't feel like some guy that you send a sixth round pick for is going to change your culture. He's just going to come and try to, you know, figure out how to succeed for himself midway through a season. You know what I mean? Culture guys are stars, free agents, high draft picks. Like that's, and then the other guys fall in line behind them. But to just bring in, oh, he's a fifth linebacker. Oh, and that guy's going to change everything? The fifth linebacker is going to change the culture on the team? Like, I don't think that's realistic.
Definitely not. Even if it's, you know, unless it's someone like a Junior Seau or something like that. But even he wasn't a fifth linebacker.
But we're not in that cycle.
We're not
there.
We're definitely not nowhere near that type of cycle, that's for sure. And this is the type of trades, if they make any, that I think if they're adding, that they're going to be doing. They're going to be picking up guys buried on other depth charts that maybe need a change of scenery, that maybe haven't gotten a chance or in a scheme that doesn't quite fit with their physical traits and advantages speak to. I mean, that's all very plausible, right?
As you are often doing this point in the bitching hour and late in the show, you stumbled into a good point. I do think there are times that coaches like Gerard Mayo or Brian Callahan or Quinn, like they go to a new place and they're not sure if a guy fits what they want to do and what they want to be. And now seven, 8 games into the season, yeah, I now know that guy's not a part of our future here. He doesn't work with my scheme. He doesn't work with my culture. There could be guys like that. That's another interesting aspect, not just money or years or fit or scheme, but also just is he their type of player? Then, oh, they gave him a shot and they move on from him.
Yeah, there's some guys like that out there on depth charts out there on offensive tackle. There's a couple of guys, Dan Skipper in Detroit.
Patriot.
Andre Dillard in Green Bay. Skipper was on the Patriots?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a guy you could bring back
low,
there.
Low level.
Sure.
And for my purposes, you can have him because he was kind of a dink when he was here.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Not a nice guy?
He was
guy.
The weatherman. He had like very douchey comments about the weather. Somebody asked him like something about, and he got very weird about it. I think it was one of those cases, scared douchey, where he was so scared as like a 7th, 8th, 9th offensive lineman to not say the wrong thing that he kind of just treated the media like crap. Or maybe he's a dink. I don't know.
Could be. Anyway, he's a guy who's out there on a roster right now, and he's offensive tackle, and this is where you're going to have to be looking. You're not trading for anybody's starters. You're going to have to be looking for backup swing tackle type guys who are buried on a depth chart somewhere, and there's a couple guys like that. Skipper's one of them. Dillard in Green Bay is one. Andres Pete in Las Vegas and Matt Peart in Denver are just a few, and that's I don't have any inside information on any of these guys. I'm just sort of looking at the profile.
Do they fit Scott Peters' strike principles?
This is the profile that I'm looking at. I don't know if that any of that's true. I don't know if that matters. I don't know if any of the guys on the team right now fit those strike principles, so I couldn't tell you.
That's fair.
But for wide receivers, same type of thing. Tyler Johnson with the Rams, Tyler Scott in Chicago, buried on that depth chart. Trent Irwin in Cincinnati, who I remember had a good game against the Patriots a couple years ago. Dontavian Wicks. Green Bay has got a bunch of wide receivers, so they have guys who don't play. No one who's going to blow your hair back or anything like that, but guys who could maybe benefit from more reps, guys who could benefit from being in a room like this one here where there's no established superstar, there's no number one, and a bunch of guys who all are demanding the ball and maybe aren't really in great standing with the team right now. I think that that's an opportunity for a player like that who's buried on some other depth chart and needs a change of scenery. Change of scenery can be a big thing for these players. It's been the case in New England, guys needing a change of scenery, so they come to New England. Randy Moss, great example. You know, he needed to get out of Oakland. He came here, and he was the best receiver in the league.
I would say a better example would be like Jelani Tavai, Kyle Van Noy.
Sure.
Like Moss was a great example,
yep.
But I'm saying for what we're talking about, the lower tier mid-round picks, former second or third round pick
Mike
who hasn't
Vrabel.
Latched on somewhere, blah, 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 you change scenery. But those guys were even trades. Like Kyle Van Noy was a trade.
Yep.
I think, was Tavai a trade or just a waiver wire pickup?
I forget, but he was with Detroit before this, right?
Yeah, and he was sort of a Matt Patricia. That's the other thing that you could get. And you could get Alex Van Pelt say, hey, this guy on the Browns, we should take a look at him, bring him in. Or, well, I don't know where some of these other guys. Drew Wilkins was with the Giants. Maybe you go get somebody from the Giants because he knows him.
Yeah.
A lot of times with these second and third tier players, there's like a specific reason. Like you said, the Irwin guy, he did it in front of the Patriots. Or Andrew Callahan said that Emmanuel
Forbes
did it in front of the Patriots, one of his best games. Or you could have a guy that has a relationship with these guys, has already coached him or been around him, knows what kind of, oh, he could do this one thing well for us on certain, hell, he could be a special teamer. Maybe there's two roles on special teams you bring him in for.
Yeah, that could work. 617-779-7937. David's in the car. Hi, David.
Good afternoon, guys. So this is a very interesting topic of what's going on with the Patriots, and I think a lot of people are missing the point. So the Patriots are doing very odd things here, and here's what the coaches are doing. They are bringing in nobodies because nobody wants to come to the Patriots, let's face it. So they're bringing in whatever trades, whatever they're doing, bringing in people that are unknown to the league, so to speak, because they are taking the spotlight off of them. That way they will have somebody who's new, who's not familiar with the system, that they can point fingers at when things don't work out. Mm. If you have players on your staff, right, if you have players on your staff that have been here a long time and are actually decent players and you cannot get them to perform, then it's on you. You bring somebody new, it's on them.
Yeah, that's fair enough, David. I'd agree with you there, but I'm not necessarily sure this, what we're talking about right now, fits that, because you're not talking about bringing in superstars to distract from the fact that the team's not doing it. That's not what this is. We're talking about end-of-the-bench guys, guys who diamonds-in-the-rough type players, Bill Belichick specials, value guys, right? Value guys. That's what he was always mm-hmm. about. Guys that aren't making a lot of money, names you might not even know that well, but he values them and he knows he can make them work in the system. I don't know if Gerard Mayo even has a system that he's confident enough in to try and pick players from other rosters to bring in right now. I think at this point, he just needs to upgrade talent, and you can do that. You can do that this way. The talent on your team is not very. You have a lot of guys who are practice squad caliber players playing big roles on this team.
Right now. And Ben Brown would be an example. You brought Ben Brown in, what, a month ago now?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like your best offensive lineman potentially,
yep.
him or Lowe. So I don't. Yeah, they're not good enough to be nitpicky. I don't think they're finding players to fit specific. They're looking for better players. They're looking for better. And I don't think it's that hard. They've done enough on the waiver wire. They've done enough throughout the course of the season to try to upgrade the roster. They're looking, and there's probably, some teams are far more talented. Don't tell me the Eagles or the Niners or the Lions or some of these teams that their lower-level players aren't better than your lower-level players.
They're much better.
Right.
Yeah, they're considerably
better. Now, I'm not saying they're all available or trade-worthy. That's a different topic. The other question here is, we always like the decision-making and how this process even works. Is this just straight Elliott Wolf? Is this Elliott Wolf, I think this guy's better than that guy here, Alex Van Pelt, here's a new guy? Or
probably, yeah.
Is the collaboration still being
him
used?
Him and Matt Groh probably have some say in it, but I'd imagine it's, yeah. It's
does DeMarcus Covington get a say? I wouldn't think so either.
I wouldn't think so.
Because like a week ago we were talking about, are they going to blow this up and get rid of all the coaches?
Right. I think the front office staff, it'll be up to them. And they may run it by some of these guys, but I think that if they do any moves, it's ultimately going to be their call. And
probably.
Elliott Wolf's call to be sure. By the way, Twitch chat saying douchey weather comments. Don't talk about Chris Curtis that way. That's very – I would never do that. I'd never say that. Anyways, 617-779-7937. Stiz will get you caught up on what's trending. Excuse me. Michael Myers gets you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, Drake May's status may be resolved here momentarily. We may know about Drake May's status before the show is over. Also, since I'm out tomorrow, we'll do the Titans scouting report today. That's all coming up right after Stiz, a.k.a. Michael Myers. Get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up one last time before we get out of here with what's trending this hour on WEEI.
Why do you keep wimping out from wearing the mask and doing trending? You've twice now wimped out.
I know. I'm just too scared that Ken's going to yell at me if it comes across muffled. Oh, so I just wanted the Twitch chat to see that we were having fun on Halloween.
Okay,
I was really urging him to do that.
I know. Jackson was egging me on. But
if you put the mask on, you sound like Jackson is the funny part. Go on.
All right, here's what's trending. The Celtics suffered their first loss of the season last night. They lost to the Pacers 135-132 in Indiana. The Jays combined for 62 points with Tatum putting up 37, Brown 25, but it just wasn't enough. The Celtics will remain on the road for back-to-back games against the Hornets. First game tomorrow night, tip-off at 7 p.m. from the Spectrum Center. Patriots, they were back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 9 game on the road against the Titans on Sunday, kickoff at 1 p.m. 13 players were limited during practice, including quarterback Drake May, who still remains on the concussion protocol. We spoke to Tommy Curran just a little while ago. Does he think Drake May will be ready to play on Sunday?
Based upon the trending, I would say more likely than not that he would play, but don't hold me to that.
There we go. The Dodgers clinched their eighth title in franchise history after they beat the Yankees 7-6 in the Bronx last night. Dodgers pitcher Daniel Hudson announced his retirement just minutes after the game, saying, quote, "Only reason I came back was to go out on top." And the Bruins, they're in Carolina tonight to take on the Hurricanes. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from the Lenovo Center. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. Trending brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show at Arcan and Hart coming up.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Okay. Who's doing video today? This was good stuff. You're
that's the new. He's gonna kill. I think he goes by Messer, but he's on fire with the graphics.
I mean, this stuff today has been pretty good. We had the pumpkins. There was The Shining, and now this Toy Story situation here, which I gotta say, like Andy, you have the purple head, but mine looks like just a picture of me. Doesn't it?
It does kind of just look like
looks like a picture of me in a costume. That is a Photoshopped picture, but it doesn't really look like one.
No, just less boobs.
Yeah.
The only thing that's missing is an Andy Hart visor.
It's true.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear should have a visor on.
Anyway, nice job back there today.
Yes.
If you're watching at twitch.tv.
Because it is Halloween.
Or on YouTube. We're broadcasting live on YouTube as well if you want to watch us that way. It is Halloween. We did not dress up today.
I am.
Boring.
I'm Visor Ken.
Didn't really. I made that up for you. I saved your bacon there a little bit. But I'd wanted to dress up. I thought I had purchased a Weird Al Yankovic costume.
But you're the dumbest person on the planet.
But I never actually hit buy. I never actually bought it. I just put it in the cart and then left it there and forgot about it for this was like months ago, too.
Are you still going to buy it for next year?
I doubt it. Probably not.
The moment's gone.
Yeah.
That's like the shopping version of I thought I hit send, but I didn't.
I mean, yeah, it's basically it. I thought I replied to this text message, which, by the way, I do all the time. That happens to me a lot. I'll reply to someone's text message in my mind. And not actually reply to it think that I've replied to it and forget all about it. And someone's like, hey, a-hole, you never answered my question. And I'm like, yeah, I did in my head 3 months ago.
I even sometimes type it in the box and then don't actually hit the send arrow.
I don't do that.
And then I'll go back and be like, oh, I never sent that text. It's still sitting there. A week later or whatever.
Words unsent.
Yeah. Words unsent. And then you can't send it then because that's weird. It's been a week.
That means that person's been seeing those little three dots on your name for a week
for months.
Yeah.
This must be one long message you're writing here.
Well, they all get mad that you left me unread or something. That's what my daughter always says. Why'd you leave me unread?
No one wants to be left unread. Left unread is tough. Which is why I don't let people know that I've read their text.
I don't know why anyone does that.
I don't know why people do that.
Does what?
So you can set your iPhone so that if you send me a text, you can have it to where something will pop up and I will know if you have opened it.
Delivered and then read.
Yeah. It's so I never put
But you
that
have
on.
To that's a setting that you can toggle yourself.
And I never
want
stuff.
People knowing that I've read their text messages.
Or not read it.
Or not read it or right. left them on read or whatever. It's just it avoids the whole thing.
What
that's
about your wife?
About
if your wife asked you to do that, would you?
I'd tell her to buzz off. No way.
Well you already got I guess you already got her married.
Right, exactly.
You'll be sharing your location after that.
No. The sharing the location thing. Not that I go anywhere exciting.
Oh,
but
I
like,
have that.
No, I'm not.
We have Life 360. Yeah.
Do you really?
Our whole family's on it. Yeah.
What's Life 360?
It's like a.
Was that thing from the Karen Reid trial? They were doing the
right.
Life 360 data to see where everybody was and where everybody went and all that stuff.
It's what modern parents use to parent.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't want to use it in case I ever,
And the kid
allegedly hit someone with my car. I don't want them to know where I went.
My kids are so okay with it. If I call or text them and say, where are you? They're like, why don't you just look on Life 360? Why do you have to bug me?
See where I am.
And so I share my location with my fiance, and she always asks me where I am. I'm like, dude, you can just look. And she had my phone one time, and she put me on read receipts. And I noticed that, and I took it off the other day. So I'm wondering,
she noticed that you took it off.
She hasn't said anything yet.
Well, she has no leg to stand on because she went into the phone and messed with
it. Yeah, but whatever.
I mean, it's your phone. If you did that to her, she wouldn't like it. So,
Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair game. Turnabout is fair play, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
We're all men here, aren't we? Men. 617-779-7937. Brandon is in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my phone call.
Brandon, long time no talk. First of all, before you get into your thing, been a while. Nice to have you back. How you been?
I've been all right. Yourself?
Good. I'm great. Happy Halloween. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I just want to throw a name out there for you guys.
Okay.
You know, Scotty Miller. He's not being used in Pittsburgh. He was a popular target for Tom Brady. He's won a Super Bowl. He was catching long bombs from Tom Brady, a popular target. A safety blanket for Tom Brady on third downs. Good slot receiver, shifty, and speedy as well. He's only 27 years old, and you're bringing in a guy that knows how to win. So I think a guy like that to grow with Drake May would be good. I mean, he does have a ring. He does know how to win. So
yeah,
I think
he does.
Be a popular guy.
He has a ring because he was on that team with Tom Brady and yeah. Evans and Gronk and Antonio Brown, all those guys. But he was part of that team. He did make some catches. He's a lot like Tyler Johnson, who's on the Rams. He played for Tampa on those Brady teams, and he had a couple of plays, too. I remember Johnson making plays on those teams, just like Miller and, you know, some of the lower-level guys. Who was, they had, like, three tight ends on that team, and they all got yeah. catches. It was, I forget what their
it's
names
none
all
of the
were,
guys.
It was Brady.
Yeah.
It was Tom Brady. It's the reason why those guys were good. But they proved that they could go out there and get open and catch the ball, which is more than you can say for some of the guys in this room right now.
Some of them get open, they don't catch it.
True.
Some of them don't get open.
Some of them don't get open and don't catch it. Just don't do anything.
Almost none of them get open and catch it most of the time.
Right.
Even the best guy, Booty. Yeah, I don't really have much interest in Scotty Miller. You know he's caught 13 passes total over the last 2 years while playing 25 games?
I didn't know that, but that's the type of guy that you have to be looking at now. I mean, right? These are the guys who are buried on depth charts, guys who aren't getting used, guys who need a change of scenery. That's 100% the type of the profile of player that I'm looking at when we did this exercise. He's right there. Scotty Miller's on that list.
So we're just throwing against the wall.
Absolutely. That's what's happening.
That's a lot of against the wall.
It is.
Although the Red
but
Sox,
you got
did
a lot
it.
Of that on your team right now. So
back
you know,
in the day, the Red Sox did it and it worked. Remember, that's how they kind of got David Ortiz, basically.
Kinda, yeah. It's also how they got Jeremy Giambi, but that's not as
they're not all going to be winners.
No. And rest in peace, by the way, Jeremy Giambi. Either
He's
way,
dead.
Jeremy Giambi passed away. Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
Hey, can I just make a really
Vin
quick
Scully hanging out? Hold on a second. Let me.
I got a really quick non sequitur for you guys.
Okay.
So you just you were talking about throwing Ish against the wall.
Yeah.
I just stumbled upon a headline.
I was going to say, I just threw something against the wall.
Woman doused in feces while gambling at casino.
That's not okay.
No, I know. I read the headline, and I'm going to delve into the article now, but I just thought that was a weird coincidence.
She was gambling at the casino when a pipe burst?
Yes,
or
yes,
someone with a bucket ran up?
Oh. No. It was a pipe burst.
Okay.
Yep.
I feel like she's going to get a payoff.
Oh, yeah. Looking for
definitely.
$30,000.
More than you're getting.
$30,000 is it?
She was in the hospital for 2 weeks, apparently. Yeah, I'd be looking for $1 million. Jeez.
Wait a minute.
I was in the hospital.
Crap came out of a pipe, so I didn't. It's not one crap. That's like
that's everyone.
Lots
crap.
Of crap.
Perhaps, yeah. I'll send you guys this article. Perhaps we can do it for
Please
Oz
do.
And
yes, we'll keep that. We'll keep that in mind. This now new thing that we're talking about here, since someone brought up throwing crap against the wall. And yes, unfortunately, Jeremy Giambi passed away 2 years ago. Rest
same
in peace
with Vince Scully.
Same with Vince Scully. Yeah, absolutely.
In the same class.
All right. It is Thursday. Normally we do this on Friday, but since it's Thursday and since I'm out tomorrow, we are going to go ahead and leapfrog our weekly scouting report. This is a new team, so we have to get to it here. The Tennessee Titans, as we see them here on WEEI Afternoons. As we always do, we'll start with what happened last week with this team. The Titans got bludgeoned last Sunday. Like, really, one of the biggest ass-kickings of this season, which we're about halfway through, happened to the Titans at the hands of the Detroit Lions. They beat them 52-14. This was a weird game because Jahmyr Gibbs went crazy. He had 127 yards, 11 yards per carry. Jared Goff only threw for 85 yards, had 3 touchdowns, and at one point in the third quarter had more points than passing yards.
Really?
Yeah.
And wasn't he like 8 of 11 or something with
yes.
3 touchdowns? Something?
It was a ton of turnovers, tons of short fields. The Lions were 5 for 5 in the red zone. They forced 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 3 fumbles. 2 of them got lost. There was a punt return for a touchdown. They basically dominated Tennessee all 3 ways. There was a trick play. Detroit's doing trick plays every week.
I like that about them.
Who was it? It wasn't Gibbs. It was the other running back threw a pass. David Montgomery was the one he threw a pass. Ridley had a good game for Tennessee, 10 catches, 143 yards. But that's it. That was Tennessee's third straight loss. Their only win this year is against Snoop Huntley and Miami. In the league, they rank on offense 30th in yards per game, 281.6. Know where the Patriots rank?
31st.
32nd. Worst in the league.
Like, the Lions have one of the worst offenses in football?
No, Tennessee.
Oh.
Tennessee Titans.
Sorry, I was hooked on the Lions for a minute there.
That's okay. The Lions have a very good offense.
That's what I thought.
The Tennessee Titans do not. They're 30th in yards per game. Patriots are 32nd in points per game. Tennessee's 28th, 17.1 points per game. Patriots are 30th at 15.5. Despite, you know, exciting Drake May or whatever, they're still not scoring a ton of points. On defense, this is weird. On defense, the Tennessee Titans are first in the NFL in yards allowed per game. They only allow 265.4 yards per game. That's the best mark in the entire league. The Patriots are 23rd. They give up 356 yards per game. But the Titans are number one. Points per game, though, they're tied for 30th. They give up 28 points per game on 265 yards. Isn't that wild? Think about how efficient all these other offenses are against them.
Well, some of that is Will Levis giving the other team the ball on like the 10 every time.
That's a huge part of
it.
The turnovers are a huge, huge part of that. But to be first in the whole league in yards against and 28th in points against, that's crazy. Or 30th in points against, I should say, is a wild discrepancy. The Patriots, by the way, 21st in points against at 24.6. It was a big offseason for the Tennessee Titans. They made a ton of moves. They signed Calvin Ridley. They traded a third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed, then signed him to a four-year deal. They signed Kenneth Murray, the linebacker, who I really liked coming out of school, who I think got drafted by the Chargers, I want to say.
With the Patriots pick.
With the Patriots pick. Exactly right. I wanted Murray, and they traded that one away. That was the Kyle Duggar draft, I think.
Sounds right.
Right?
Yep.
Something like that. They also signed Tyler Boyd, pretty good third receiver. Signed Tony Pollard. Signed Lloyd Cushenberry to be their center. Signed Quandre Diggs at safety. A lot of signings, a lot of trades, a lot of turnover here for this team. They also let Derrick Henry walk. They fired Mike Vrabel, and they stuck with Will Levis, which were some of the drama that they had in the offseason. A lot of people wanted him to go quarterback. A lot of people liked Vrabel, and a lot of people didn't want to see Derrick Henry walk out the door, despite the fact that Tennessee had been kind of reeling in the last couple of years. They decided to start over, and in the draft, they took J.C. Latham, 7th overall, tackle out of Alabama. He's now their starting left tackle, the number two prospect, I'd say, behind Joe Alt on every draft board. At 38th overall, they drafted Tavondre Sweat, nose tackle out of Texas. He's starting for them, and they drafted a starting defensive back in Jarvis Brownlee, but that's because one of their guys is injured, and now I forget who it is, but that's the reason for that. I know, this is a very in-depth scouting report here. Players to watch. Who are your players to watch, Andy Hart?
The quarterback, I would say. Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And regardless of who plays quarterback for the Patriots, Mason Rudolph, I remember when he took over for Will Levis and he had a sneaky winning record people were selling. I was watching the game and they're like, you know, he's like 8-4 in Pittsburgh or right. Something like that. He's not very good. I was looking at his numbers. Where am I? I'm not even on the right thing. How did I get on the Lions again?
I don't know. You're obsessed with the Lions today.
Well, I am kind of obsessed with the Lions in general. But Mason Rudolph has 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, which nothing to write home about, but a 69.9 rating, which is nice for certain things.
Very nice.
Calvin Ridley, to me, is the other player to watch because of you people, the you people that wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually having a terrible year until last week where he had like 12 catches for 140 yards. Remember, he was bitching. They get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Then he finally gets all the targets. So
I don't think he was having a terrible year.
He's got 22 catches, and more than half of them came last week.
Yeah, but there's only been how many games? Like, he's had a couple other pretty good games, I think.
What do you mean how many games?
Let me go back
7
over
games.
And find it. 7 games, 11 catches in 7 games. I know he's had at least one other very good game. I can't pull up his...
He's got 1 touchdown for the year. 1.
Okay.
Solamente un. He'd fit right in on the Patriots. He's a 1 touchdown receiver.
Sure he would. But he's had other good games this year is the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, against the Jets, 4 catches, 77 yards in the touchdown. He had 3 catches for 50 yards in the first game. I mean, nothing.
For $100 million, you get 3 catches and you get excited about it? You call that a good game?
He also has rushed for some yards as well. Good yards from scrimmage here.
All right, get off Calvin Ridley.
Fine. Gross. Either way, he's better than anything you have, that's for sure.
That's true.
Other players to watch.
You heard Mayo talked him up, right?
Yeah.
Zero really getting a lot of targets. Ridley, we can see why everybody wanted him on their team or something. He's a prize free agent this offseason.
Another guy to watch, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He has 5 catches and 3 touchdowns. So the guy to watch out for in the red zone.
That's good production.
That's very good production.
Farrell Brown-esque.
Jeffrey Simmons, their edge rusher, is a stud. I think
he
Ridley's
a
pretty
older,
good.
Right, though?
Yeah, I'd say so, right?
I feel like he's been there forever.
Late 20s, maybe early 30s. And their kicker, Nick Folk, who's a good old friend, accurate, reliable guy, who's been making kicks for them, and really, that's about all that they have going for him right now. Former Titans and Patriots, Nick Folk's one of them. The other's Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper played for Tennessee, which brings us to everybody's favorite part of the scouting report.
Yes.
And that is the all-time Patriots-Titans team. Who do you think starting at quarterback on the all-time Patriots-Titans team?
All-time Patriots-Titans team. Should I know this?
You should.
Okay, tell me.
Matt Cassel.
Oh, yeah, Matt Cassel.
There's your starting quarterback.
I don't think of him as a Tennessee Titan.
He was only there briefly, but he did play there. Running back, you got a pretty good mix here. Marion Butts. Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis and Antoine Smith, who I don't remember being with Tennessee, or maybe it was Houston back then. But he was also a part of those teams. You got a loaded tight end room here. Listen to this. Algie Crumpler, Daniel Graham, Austin Hooper, and Jonnu Smith. Pretty good tight end play right there. That's a pretty good tight end room. At wide receiver, number one, Randy Moss, of course.
Of course.
David Givens.
David Givens was a sad story. I love David Givens. He went there on a decent money deal, and then he hurt his knee, and it, like, petered out fast.
Yeah, and he was a stud for the Patriots.
He was. He might be the most underrated player of the early dynasty.
I would agree. Seventh-round pick or whatever he was. Yep. He caught a touchdown
in, like, eight straight postseason games or something. Stud.
Yeah, Givens was awesome. Josh Gordon and Kenny Britt also round out that room.
Receiver room, not bad when healthy.
Not bad. A couple of head cases in there, but not a bad room, to be sure.
Yeah, but if you took the best of that room, you have Randy Moss and Josh Gordon on the same team?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Your offensive line's not great. Marshall Newhouse is your starting tackle. Tom Funchess, Kevin Hunt, and Josh Klein. Not a lot of names I'm even all that familiar with. And then on defense, Malcolm Butler, of course.
Of course.
Albert Hainsworth, who was awesome in Tennessee and then was a total joke here. And Akeem Ayers, the linebacker.
What about Logan Ryan?
Akeem. And Logan Ryan. There's a good one, too. I didn't even think of him. Yeah, Logan Ryan.
Anybody else?
You remember dancing into the end zone in Tom Brady's last ever game as a Patriot. Last pass he ever threw as a Patriot went right into the waiting arms of Logan Ryan.
What did Albert Hainsworth do there? I forget like exactly where some of his transgressions happened. No, I mean in terms of bad stuff.
I think that's where he had that thing with the waitress.
At a strip club where he asked her, where do I swipe this, ma'am, or something?
I believe that was when he was with the Titans. I'm not sure. Let me see if that may have been.
Arrest warrants
were issued against Hainsworth in two Tennessee counties in 2006. One was stemming from a traffic incident on Interstate 40. Both sets of charges were dropped. He was driving 100 miles an hour. Yeah, he stomped on a guy's head. That guy in the Cowboys, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was reported that Clayton Bank and Trust was suing Hainsworth in 2010, alleging that he failed to make payments on a loan in the amount of $2.38 million.
Jeez.
A stripper from New York claimed a $10 million lawsuit that Hainsworth impregnated her and left her with no financial assistance. Hainsworth allegedly in 2011 threw a punch to the nose of Joel Velasquez of Leesburg, Virginia during a traffic altercation. 2015, pled guilty to reckless boating. 2020, arrested in Cleveland, Tennessee, charged with domestic assault after he was accused of yelling at and threatening his former girlfriend and her new boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
Okay. He was good in Tennessee. He was good with the Redskins, too, I want to say, right? Isn't that where he started his career, I want to say?
Yes. So. He got a $100 million deal there, though, right?
Yeah.
He was a $100 million guy.
Yeah, he was.
And he wasn't making payments on $2 million loans?
I heard in Worcester, he had like a cab company or something, or like a limo company.
Worcester, Massachusetts?
In Worcester, Massachusetts,
He's still here?
I don't know if he's still here now, but I know that after he was done playing...
Really?
He settled in Worcester? Yeah. He had a business there or something. I think I'm right about that. I'll go back and make sure I'm not talking completely out of my mind here. But I think it was in Western Mass, somewhere in Western Mass or something like that. He had either a limo company or a cab company or something along those lines. And, it's the last I heard of Albert Hainsworth. Anyway, there you go. That is your...
Who's got the better coach?
Tennessee Titans scouting report. Good question. Brian Callahan or Gerard Mayo, who is the better coach? I'm going to lean Callahan just because he's an offensive mind, and I think that that's a little bit more valuable in 2024 than whatever it is that Gerard Mayo's bringing to the table. I would say he's not obviously not off to a great start here or anything, but I think in terms of what makes for a good coach or a good play caller, whatever it is, I'd lean on that side of things. I'd lean on the offensive side where Callahan is.
Yeah, I'm not
even
totally...
if he doesn't end up being good. That's where I'd go.
He, I think, has had more glaring or bombastic mistakes as a first. That what the F are you doing?
Yeah.
And then talking about it in the press conference, and he's had.
Did
some,
he call him soft?
sort of. Basically, he's had some rookie coach moments there in the media, on the field with his team. I think they're very similar in that they're learning quickly on the fly here. And he probably should have been better prepared based on being the son of a football coach all his life and then being second in charge for a big-time offense with Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Like I feel like he should have been more ready for the role he's in.
Yeah, probably. 617-779-7937. Derek's in Pepperell before the break. Hi, Derek.
Guys, how the hell did you sneak Jackson into your show? He is, seriously, he is a gem. He's an MVP on the Greg Hill Show. I call into the Greg Hill Show all the time. In fact, Jackson will tell you, I'm the ambassador of the Greg Hill Show. Great take having him. And Jackson, so nice to hear your voice. And I love your show, guys.
Derek, thanks. Welcome, by the way, since you're a Hillman listener. Welcome to the WEEI Afternoons. Thank you for tuning in. And I agree 100%. Jackson's killing it today.
All right, thanks, Dad. I'll bring that money back by later on, okay? Thanks.
Checks in the mail. Very good. All right, we're going to get to odds and ends here. Jackson has a story about a piece of clothing that he's wearing for all you Jackson fans out there. Jackson Maniacs, that's all coming up in odds and ends next. The song creeps me out.
It is so creepy.
Tiny Tim, right?
What is it?
It's Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim.
Is it in a movie?
Is it in a movie?
It is. So Insidious.
Right?
Yeah. The movie Insidious used it, and it's just creepy.
He's creepy. Like Tiny Tim, he plays like a ukulele or something, right? Isn't that what he's playing?
Yeah.
And he's got long hair and like weird teeth, and he's just a weird guy. Yeah, he's fit right in on this show, that's for sure. Anyways.
True that.
It is time now for Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K and the number 4. Got any odds and ends today, Andy?
Well, I thought we would want to start maybe with Jackson's
Let's hear
story.
About this shirt. So Jackson, I didn't know about this. You told me about this before the show. You were like, hey, ask Jackson about his shirt. He's got a story about the shirt. Jackson, I see you're wearing a shirt with a jack-o'-lantern face on it. It's not, it's just a shirt with a pumpkin face.
Yeah,
what's the story?
My Halloween themed shirt. So it's a funny story. So about 25 years ago, I feel old. I was like, I don't know, 16, 15 or whatever.
Yep.
Warped Tour. Remember the Vans Warped Tour?
Of course, I remember the Warped Tour.
Big punk festival. So there was a bunch of great bands. Rancid, Seventh Rail Crew, AFI, who I even forgot played there. Alien Ant Farm.
AFI played 25 years ago at the Warped Tour? Really?
It was 2001.
No, they were that. They've been around.
Or 23 long. Years ago.
Okay.
Something like that. So I get backstage somehow. I work myself backstage. I don't know how I did it. Don't even remember how. And I was wearing a Metallica.
Confidence, right? You just walk back in like you're supposed to be there.
Pretty
That's
much.
How you do
it. Or
yeah.
you did unspeakable things.
There no unspeakable things. But I was wearing a Metallica Damage Incorporated tour t-shirt.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool, a little bit vintage looking. And this drunk guy comes up to me and goes, dude, I'll give you $20 for that shirt. I'm like, and I put my business cap on right away. I'm like, you make it 30 and give me a shirt to wear and you got yourself a deal. So he gave me $30, gave me this shirt. And I
was he wearing that shirt?
He was wearing this shirt.
So you guys did a jersey swap.
Yes, 2024 Jackson would not do this, but 2001 Jackson was all for it. So I got $30 in a shirt, and it's a great great
it's canvas great.
For writing. And so I had all the bands signed. This shirt right here is signed by Green Day.
Really?
Yes.
What? Wow.
I can actually see this. I don't know why you didn't tell me this
earlier. Stand up. I can't see any signatures. Where are the signatures?
Yeah, they're at the bottom here, and I can't believe you're just rocking that.
I know that's like, bold to wear a shirt with its autograph.
I would have put it in like a poster thing. Or a case or something.
I've been thinking of doing something with it, but I've watched it a bunch of times. And
we can tell.
Yeah. It's definitely survived, and it's my Halloween costume. So.
Speaking of Green Day, you remember back in the 90s, you remember that show Green Day had at the Hat Shell?
Yes.
There was like a crazy riot afterwards. I was at that show, by the way. I was like 14. Me and my friend John went to that show.
Were you boxing people?
I was not boxing anybody. We got there late. We took the train. My parents didn't know where we were going. We took the train down there, got off at MGH. I remember sitting on top of an ambulance because we were way in the back. And there was like a bunch of ambulances and like, just trucks all there ready because it was a free concert. And Green Day was like blowing up. and we sat on an ambulance, and the show was over in like two songs. There's just people stormed the stage. People were on the stage. Green Day said, bleep this, and walked off. And then there was just a big riot afterwards, and we took off. We were right on the fringe, so we got back. There was a free concert in Boston today. Tyler, the Creator. Are you familiar with him? Tyler, the Creator, who I like. Did a free show right over
in
at
with odds and ends because he has Converse an odd future.
Odd future.
Oh, there you go, Andy.
Wait, he does know. He does know Tyler the Creator.
No, I don't.
Well, how'd you know Odd Future?
Because Stizzard of Oz whispered in my ear.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
I couldn't even pretend. I'm out. Like I've never heard of him. I don't know what it is. Like
Odd Future. I have the Earl Sweatshirt. Like that was a pretty good group, Odd Future. They're not still a group, are they? Is Odd Future still a thing?
I don't know. I don't think there was ever like a technical disbandment, but yeah, they're not releasing.
Young Taco. Remember Young Taco? Young Taco. I like those guys.
Pretty funny shows on like Adult Swim, I think they had a
show. Yeah, the squad. Loiter Squad?
Yeah.
Good show. Definitely a good show. Anyway, he did a free concert today on Lovejoy Wharf over at the Converse building. Just stood up on the roof. He's got an album coming out in 2 days. And as far as I know, I didn't see. I just saw he did a concert for about a half hour. No riots. We've come a long way, Boston.
Yeah, good for him and good for Boston. Can we bring back more stuff like that, please?
I remember Limp Bizkit did a show at Fenway. Remember that a couple years? That was a while ago. It was like 20 years ago.
On Lansdowne,
they
right?
did a show right there.
On the rooftop. They got in trouble
Lansdowne. They got in trouble. I think FNX sponsored it. They got in trouble, too. I think FNX was involved in the Green Day show. I don't know who was involved with this Tyler, the Creator show, but it was at 2 o'clock. It was 30 minutes, and he's got his new album coming out, and this is pretty good. And no riots. No riots were had.
That's
so congratulations,
no one was there.
Boston. Well done. I think a lot of people.
No, they were listening to our show. It's
pretty popular. That's true. If you were listening to this show,
that's
you
why
probably
there were no riots.
Them. Anyways, that's all the time we have here today.
No, we didn't even get to the OBJ candle that smells like his jock.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
should we get to that real quick?
Yeah, it's your show. It's your world.
Odell Beckham is selling a candle that smells like his jock strap. Now, if you remember, you brought this up. Gwyneth Paltrow had the candle that smelled like her. Smelled like her.
Yeah.
This one
her
seems
essence.
Her essence. That's a good way of
putting
it.
We got that. Greg got that.
Did he really?
Yeah, we smelled it. Yeah.
Did it smell like her essence?
Nah, maybe. Could be. It smelled like a pretty candle.
Well,
so if that's what her essence smells like, then.
Then it was fake.
Yeah.
It's probably fake. And I think this is fake, too. And also, what do you need a candle to make a room smell like a jockstrap for? I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't need a candle for that. You need a candle after I'm done in the room in the right. jockstrap, right?
That's, I can that's go to the gym and leave my dirty clothes on the floor, and it's going to stank.
Easy enough.
I'm smell blind, so the only thing I use a candle for is to see in the dark anyway.
Really?
I forgot he was smell blind.
You can't smell anything?
Can't smell anything.
Nothing.
What about like really stinky weed? You can't smell
that?
Yes,
that's the one thing.
The one thing you can smell?
That and mint.
So he might be part of the smelling salts test.
Oh,
there
absolutely.
You go. All right, we'll try it out.
Let's do it.
There you go. That's all the time we have here today. I'm off tomorrow, so good luck to you, Andy, and Fitzy, I believe. Is going to be in for the whole show.
Six
for
rings
four.
Friday.
Very
here
nice.
On the afternoon show.
And stick around because coming up, I believe, who do we have coming up next? John Lyons and KJ?
And Shime.
I saw Shime somewhere, but not in costume.
Lyons and Shime time coming your way right now, leading you up until Thursday Night Football. That's it for us. We'll talk to you again. I'll talk to you again on Monday. Andy will talk to you again tomorrow at 2. Goodbye, everybody.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.